Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wickman. Special guest in the house, Becky Roark is in the house, and she's from Beaver Lake Watershed Alliance. That's a lot. I mean, hopefully you didn't have to pay for all the vowels for that when you when you came up with the name. But tell us what your position is and what is that all about? How does that encompass it? Because we're sitting with Beaver Lake right behind us. As you know, we live on the lake. And so what do you do? What's the deal?
Well, I'm glad to be here, Brad. Thank you. I'm Becky Roark, Executive Director for the Beaver Watershed Alliance, and we're a nonprofit watershed group working up here in Northwest Arkansas to really help protect Beaver Lake, and that includes all the water and lands that drain to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you do a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right? So tell us, what's a normal day? Do you have normal days or?
Oh, no, we don't.
No.
Right. No. So, yeah, there's, you know, Northwest Arkansas is blessed with so much water.
Right.
In this, throughout the year that there's a lot of stormwater runoff coming from communities. So we're working with a lot of cities on right. some initiatives. We're out working with farmers out in the rural areas and forested landowners. We're working with other groups on actual stream bank work. We have a lot of different initiatives that we're trying to tackle, all to help protect Beaver Lake.
So. Right. And so is the number one, you know, thing that hurts a reservoir, is that sediment? Is that the issue that
yes.
is number one?
Yeah. Yeah, so we've been studying this lake the Alliance was formed back in 2011.
Okay.
And the lake, of course, has been here since the 60s.
Right, 67.
So, yeah, there's been a lot of studies over time looking at Beaver Lake, and there did get to a point where, you know, sediment nutrients, some people saw that as being a big concern. So,
right.
So they got together and helped commission a study, and now that's our Beaver Lake Watershed Protection Strategy.
Uh-huh.
And in that report, just gives us a lot of information about, you know, what's happening now, what are some projections, what do we need to be paying attention to.
Right.
And then the Alliance was formed to really carry out that strategy. So, yes, sediment is the number one threat to Beaver Lake,
right.
and it's coming from all different sources. We call it non-point source pollution.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I know, it's a funny word. It just means, you know, just think of it like you can't point your finger anywhere and say that's where it's coming from. So
right.
it's coming from construction. It's coming from eroding stream banks. It's coming from loss of riparian area up and down our creeks and streams.
You just used a big R word. What? Say that again and give us a definition.
Sure. I get a little, I forget the terminology. So a riparian area is basically the buffer we have along our creeks and streams.
Right.
And, you know, we really want a healthy buffer of trees and shrubs and grasses along all of our creeks and streams. And we can go into the why later, but that buffer is really important to keep sediment and nutrients out. So we've suffered extreme loss of riparian over the past 50 years or so
in
this watershed.
And so as anglers, that's important because sediment gets on the rocks. It's harder for reproduction, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, when sediment goes in the lake, we call it turbidity.
Uh-huh.
And that turbidity really reduces the oxygen levels for your aquatic species. So, you know, the bass have a harder time breathing, and it's just not good for their habitat to have the muddy water, because that's right. not what they're used to. So, yes, keeping sediment out is not only, you know, good for drinking water, but also good for our fisheries here.
Right. So tell us, how has things changed since 2011 to now?
Yeah.
How has the turbidity, how has that changed?
Mm-hmm. So just looking at some of the trend data, you know, we're seeing there is an increase in sediment and nutrients. Mm. There's work to do.
Right.
Because And again, we can't really point our finger and say this is exactly what's causing it, but right. we can, we do know some things. One is we have a much more, much wetter, warmer climate we're facing, you know, like getting these 13-inch rains all right. at once, instead of, we used to get 2 inches of rain over the whole day.
Right.
So they're much more extreme water events happening.
We can blame that on Oklahoma. Because it used to be wetter over there. Uh-huh. You know, like the Tornado Alley has actually yeah. shifted over, I heard, has yeah. shifted because it's more wetter over in this area in Alabama. That's just what I heard.
But, yeah.
But so we're the results is the lake is getting more heavy yeah. rains and nothing to stop that.
Right.
The runoff.
Yep. And as you guys know, Northwest Arkansas is blowing up. We have over 30 people moving here per day.
Uh-huh.
Lots of roads and schools and buildings and infrastructure going in, which is great for the region, but what that also causes is a lot of runoff, a lot of stormwater uh-huh. runoff. So you have, hotter water is going into the streams, more polluted water is going into the streams, more volume of water going into these streams.
Right.
And that's a really big issue right now. We're trying to work with a lot of cities on. So
the water was clear in the past, and so they have a new water treatment facility basically in Fayetteville, right? Didn't they put that in like 15 years ago or so? Somewhere around there.
For wastewater treatment?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yep. So.
Yep. We only have two in this watershed. We have the Nolan plant.
Yeah.
And one in Huntsville.
Right.
So most of the bigger ones are over in the Illinois River watershed side.
So we're talking about watershed. Mm-hmm. Give us an idea how broad an area we're talking about, from what town to what town.
Yeah, it's huge. South and I always keep this post-it here because it reminds me how big this watershed is. It's 766,000 acres, wow. 1,200 square miles. So what's really cool about this watershed is, a lot of time, out in the west, you have mountains that right. snow melt, the water flows down. And then that forms your waterways. Uh-huh. But here in the Ozarks and the Boston Mountain, which is also part of this, the water actually springs up from the ground. And then yeah. so you have these tiny little tributaries starting down in St. Paul and Winslow and out past Whittier, some of those places very south of here.
Right.
And all of those flow north, which is also odd. Right. All of our water flows north.
Uh-huh.
And eventually those come together to form. We have the West Fork and the Middle Fork and the East Fork, and those all make what we call the White River.
Uh-huh.
We have Richland Creek that flows into the lake, and we have War Eagle and Brush Creek that flow into the lake. So
right.
there's not just one source. You have all these tributaries that are flowing to form Beaver Lake. And then, up towards the dam, that goes out over to Lake Taneycomo and Bull Shoals, and then hits the White River going east and eventually hits the Mississippi River and goes down to the Gulf of Mexico. So what we're here is called the headwaters of uh-huh. the White River. So really critical, important part of this bigger system, too. So
is it a good general rule of thumb, if it rains on the east side of old Highway 71, it comes into Beaver Lake, and if it rains, the rain that goes to the other side actually goes into the Illinois River?
Almost.
Is that a good
yeah.
rule of thumb in general?
I kind of think that. I mean, you have – what's interesting is the, Rogers, Lowell,
right.
Springdale, Fayetteville, all of them share both watersheds.
Uh-huh.
So – and then – I-49 is really in the Illinois River till you get to about the Fayetteville Greenland area.
Right.
So, and then Old 71, sorry.
Yeah.
That's still
pretty close
to the watershed, but that's about the general area. Yeah.
So we have all this water coming in, and so now we have the alliance that can fight. Are you a government agency, or are you an independent? How does that work?
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit organization, and we're non-regulatory, so
okay.
We don't, you know, tell anybody what to do, but we offer suggestions of here's things you can do, here right. are some programs out there. There's a lot of people we're working together. Beaver Water District, our drinking right. water utility, uh-huh. is one of our biggest partners. We have a source water protection fee that they actually help to fund source water protection projects
right.
through us and other organizations. And we work with Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. You may have right. seen some of the habitat sinking, the cedar trees yep. and all that. U.S. Fish and Wildlife, a lot of different groups are all working together here. So we're not doing it alone, but really what we try to be is the liaison. So you have all these programs and all these funding for private landowners.
Right.
And what we take the guesswork out of figuring out, you know, who to talk to for what. So, you know, whatever your concerns are, if you have erosion happening on your property or flooding or stream bank erosion, or you just want to do some conservation practices, or maybe you see something that shouldn't be going on, you know, call us. We have a resource for that.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
And so we had the map here, and it shows a lot of this whole area. And you talked about the size and everything and the water, and that things have changed accordingly. What's your outlook? Like, if you had to make a thought into the next coming year or so, mm-hmm. how do you look at protecting the watershed? Like
yeah.
what is there... You have projects that you're working on?
Yeah.
That go to that?
So we're really just driven by the data.
Uh-huh.
So the data is showing us that, you know, the War Eagle area
right.
is producing a lot more sediment. So
yep.
we're switching the focus to doing a lot of War Eagle projects,
uh-huh.
like restoration projects and
right.
up and down the War Eagle. You know, the West Fork still has some impaired waterways. We're really driven by, you know, the impairments of the watershed, and
which means
so every stream is monitored to meet certain standards for the state.
Uh-huh.
And when they don't meet those standards, they go on this, like, it's called a 303D list.
Right.
And if they're on the 303D list, that means that you could be on your way to having some more regulations,
uh-huh.
TMDLs, which are total maximum daily loads. I'm sorry, this is a
no,
lot
that's
of new
all right.
terminology, but if they get on this list, it can be a bad thing.
Right.
And it's really hard to get a segment off of that list unless you're doing a lot of conservation practices to reverse the sediment and nutrient inputs.
So you're getting all this data. You have some very talented people that work
Dude.
With you. And, of course, we're going to let you give a shout out. But yeah. but tell us, your staff, tell us, you know, what they do, how their involvement is working with the watershed to make it better.
Yeah. So we do. We have an amazing staff. Couldn't do this work without them. We have Larry Berry. He's our program director. And
okay.
he's covering a lot of the War Eagle projects, working with farmers and ag producers.
Okay.
We have Daniel Haygood. He's our senior ecologist, and he is just so talented with forest and wildlife management.
Yeah. Is he the one that was wrangling pythons in
yeah.
Florida?
Yes.
It's cool. You just need to go to their website and check out that guy's bio. It's like,
yeah.
wow, he's a Crocodile Dundee
he
here, living here in Arkansas.
He is. Yeah, you should see some of the skins he has.
And who else yeah. do you have?
We have Emily Finley. She's our urban watershed specialist. So if you're in a city area, then she's the person to talk to about, you know, getting help with programs and things. Then we have our finance manager, and we have Kendall Hahn, who's our watershed specialist. And Kendall's background is in karst, like cave systems and geomorphology. So she's helping us really learn more about that. And then I have an outreach coordinator. We're actually getting ready to hire. We have offered her the job. We hope she'll be starting with us in a couple weeks.
So. How about caves? Is there a lot of caves on the lake?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. What's the deal with caves? Can you go in them? Can you explore? Or is it no?
Most of them are closed off now. Uh-huh. So, I mean, you can look at about Highway 412.
Right.
About everything north of that is a lot of karst. There's some below it, but mostly north of 412.
Oh, all right.
So if you have your Hobb State Park, there's War Eagle Caverns there that you can go into.
Right.
But a lot of the caves on private properties, some of those are still open, but most of them have been closed off to protect some endangered species of bats.
So, right.
Yeah. Mm.
There's a lot. So Hobbs Estate runs through there.
Yeah, and they have a lot of area.
Talk a little bit about the tornado that came through.
Yeah.
Is that devastating to the watershed because of the loss of the habitat?
Yeah. Yeah, that was awful. You know, first thing we saw was just, you know, pictures of War Eagle Mill.
Right.
If you go down there now, it just looks like it was put in a blender. Lot huge loss of the riparian area. A lot of those big trees are gone. And War Eagle Cavern, huge loss there. A lot of trees down. Hobb State Park, they had over 2,000 trees down. They've been working with a lot of volunteers coming in and helping them kind of rebuild their trails and things out there. So I know they're still, those efforts are all still ongoing. But yeah, that was absolutely devastating to the forested areas up here.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time, sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft bait. So you can go out there and catch fish on Beaver Lake, and hopefully the water will be pristine, crystal clear, turbidity low. And so we'd be in good shape on that. If they want to find out more about the Beaver Lake Watershed Alliance, where would they go?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways to find us. Our website, of course.
Okay.
We have a newsletter that goes out monthly if people want to sign up and just
where would they sign up at?
It's on our website under
which is
beaverwatershedalliance.org. Thank you. Okay. And you can sign up for our newsletter. It goes out monthly, and it just talks about, you know, the different programs you can take a part of, advantage of. We also do a lot of workshops and volunteer events and things. You can find us on Facebook. We have Instagram. We actually had a podcast for a little bit called We Are Water.
Yeah. You still have it? Yeah.
We can't do it all, Brad. it was fun, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds good. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.